Hello, friends, and Happy New Year. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle, Washington, in the United States, on 1150 AM. The program focuses on out-of-this-world information, including psychic phenomena, UFOs, metaphysics, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle, the United States, and beyond. We will have only the best psychics and astrologers in the world on our program, and I guarantee today's program will be really out of this world. We are also one of the top-rated talk show programs in the Seattle area, and we are also the fastest-growing psychic and UFO radio program in the world with listeners in over 60 countries. Today we have some very, very special guests coming on for the first hour. We'll have Celeste Jacoby talking about her incredible, interesting book, How Do You Pray? We'll be talking about that shortly. During the second hour, we will have one of the world's most famous scientists, Rupert Sheldrake, on a pre-record I did with him in London, England yesterday, followed by Terry Wurzburg out of Bergen, Norway, talking about his wonderful UFO conference, which will be happening this October. During the interview with Professor Sheldrake, we did have another very famous scientist come on board during the interview, and stay tuned for that. It's a surprise, and I'm sure it'll be out of this world. You'll find it very interesting. I also wanted to thank, before we begin, the many sponsors of the show, including my dear friend Carol, who's been designing the website and providing great help in keeping the website going. My friend Ann Nelson, business professor at Walla Walla College, my dear friend Michiko Hayashi of the Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan, who's providing suggestions for the show, my angelic and earthly family, as well as my wonderful sound engineer, Eric Ryder, and the station manager, Eric Krima, without whose help and support this program would not have been possible. You can always listen to the show live from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at www.1150kknw.com. And after the show, you can always listen to the show at www.outofthisworld1150.com and click on any one of our guests. You can also follow us on Twitter at Ted Marr, OTW Radio, and on Facebook at Out of This World Radio. For those who'd like to ask questions during the show, please call our direct studio line at area code 425-373-5527. Or toll-free within the United States and Canada, within Western Washington, actually, at 1-888-298-5569. I wanted to tell people about the wonderful Galactic Wisdom Conference we're having at the Inn at Gig Harbor from March 6th to the 8th, 2015, located only 10 to 15 minutes from downtown Tacoma, Washington. The Inn at Gig Harbor is a wonderful facility, and we'll be having some of the world's most interesting and fascinating psychics and UFO people at the event. For more information, please go to our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. We're running a special now for the three days, including all the workshops. It's just $197, includes breakfast on Saturday and Sunday morning for those who attend. And if you're busy or just can't come except for one day, we have a special one-day rate of only $97. I wanted to tell you a little bit about our guest. Celeste, are you there? We'll get Celeste here on the phone here. Hello, Celeste, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good. A little bit about you. You're a passionate about helping people discover a deeper experience of the sacred in their daily lives, ordained as a minister of walking prayer by the Center for Sacred Studies. She leads How Do You Pray workshops in which people share and experience different ways of connecting to a source greater than themselves. She also maintains a private practice in Santa Fe, New Mexico, where she facilitates healing and transformation through her unique approach to spiritual coaching and her mastery of a number of the healing arts. With breath, touch, prayer, and song, she holds a space of awareness, presence, and inspiration that allows her clients to experience the profound integration of body, mind, spirit, and emotion. How Do You Pray is her first book, and I've got a copy here, and I've read it. Just a fascinating book. Celeste, thank you so much for this gift. It's a beautiful book, and I've learned so much reading it.
Well, thank you, Ted, and thank you for inviting me on the show. Just for the record, my last name is Jacoboni.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
I think I'll stick to Celeste because that's easier. I don't make
great.
Any mistakes or anything. Well, good. Well, how did you ever get interested in this particular topic, Celeste?
Well, I've been interested in it all of my life. When I was young, I went to a Catholic grade school, and I remember the nuns telling us that God always was and always will be. And that sparked my interest. I tried to follow that notion in one direction, that always was, and I followed that line as long as I could. And then I went the other way, always will be. And of course, the mind couldn't grasp it. And I realized that is infinity. Mm-hmm. That is eternity. Mm-hmm. And that is still sparking me. So it was way back then that I was so interested in this infinite realm called God. Mm-hmm. And when I was 14, I actually walked out of that Catholic Church, realizing that it could not hold all of it, that these beliefs were limiting, and there was so much more. God was just too big for that one religion. And my mother was so supportive. She told me that I could pray in that church, but I could pray anywhere and everywhere, even sitting out on a rock. So she gave me the permission to find my own relationship to what is sacred and to explore that. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've been doing ever since then.
Well, that's fantastic. You've given such a gift to the world. Now, you have in your book here, you have no less than probably, would you say, 75, 100 people that you've quoted on? No, more than that.
129.
All right, 129. I know there's quite a few. Yeah, and the amazing thing about your book, Celeste, is that as you read it, you get everyone's perspective. And the thing that struck me is that, in my own personal belief system, I think we're all sparks of the Creator. And God's in within all of us. And as you've gotten on the air, this has happened before with other special spiritual guests. This entire studio is lit up in a beautiful white light. And I just want to thank you. We're having some angelic help here today.
So, oh, well, this vision was truly an out-of-the-world experience. Those words, how do you pray, woke me up early one morning, and the room was illuminated.
Oh,
and the
beautiful
words continued and prompted me to go to a very deep place inside myself where I experienced oneness.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw like a beautiful kaleidoscope, the prayers of all traditions, of all people.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the essence at the core of all of them. And it was really beautiful to see that, to see it was like a circle, like moving in a circle, all of these different ways that we've been praying since the beginning of time. People in ritual and dancing on the earth and sharing and whirling and singing and chanting and and I heard it and I saw it and I smelled the incense and tasted that sweetness of that devotion.
Mm-hmm.
And I said yes. I knew that I was to not only sit with this inquiry myself, as I continue to do now 7 years later, but to ask the world, how do you pray?
Sure.
How do you pray? And I'm finding that there are as many ways to pray as there are people, but also we have so many ways in each of us that we pray.
Well, I wanted to tell you a couple of thoughts on that. What a beautiful thing you say. My next guest next hour is Rupert Sheldrake, one of the world's most famous scientists. I recorded his interview yesterday, and I asked him, he told me on the air, and for those listening, please stay tuned to my second hour, because he talks about prayer and how it helps him in his work. There, I just want to read you a quote you have from Sandra Ingerman on page 5 of your wonderful book, Celeste. It says, she's written, Prayer to me is waking up each morning and giving gratitude for the miracle of life and the life of all living beings that are connected to the web of life. And I think you're right. You know, we all have the spark of the Creator within us. And the spark of the Creator is not only within all of us, but also our pets and animals, in the trees and plants, in all the physical entities of this dimension on this planet. So God, I think, is within all of us. And once you realize that there is a oneness among all humanity and all the planet too, you're much less likely to engage in behavior that would harm the planet or harm other people.
Yes. Yeah, I'd like to read a quote as well from Sharif Abdullah.
Okay.
And he says that he is in a near constant conversation with the divine, and that rocks are sacred, stars are sacred, trees are sacred, rivers are sacred. How could you harm the earth if you are a part of the earth? This is the kind of sacredness that indigenous people have always known, mm-hmm. and to which we must return.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's another quote I want to share with you from Nina Simons on page 16 of your beautiful book. And she's quoting a Peruvian shaman named Oscar Miro Quesada taught me that, quote, consciousness creates matter. And for her prayers that she usually starts with gratitude by sending out beauty, love, and synchronicity that surrounds me and holds me, about how beautiful and wonderful this planet is. And I think it's certainly a wonderful thing to start with. You've mentioned on your in your book on page 48, you mentioned the late Dr. Masaru Emoto, who passed away in October, and he talked about the same thing as water and his love and gratitude experiments, where he would have people direct, for example, positive thoughts to a glass of water. And the crystalline structure on the molecular level of the water would turn into these beautiful, beautiful patterns like snowflakes. But then he'd have people also send negative thoughts or hatred to another glass of water, and examining the molecular level of the water in that glass, which received the negative thoughts, it would be completely disjointed and not have any of the beautiful characteristics of the love water.
Yeah, it's amazing. And to see that beautiful water crystal, mm-hmm. the love and gratitude crystal there with his contribution in the book. And as you say, energy follows intention. I'm finding that we are all part of this prayer field,
sure.
this field of love and energy that manifests in the physical realm. It manifests on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And just like people have been praying since the beginning of time, and these ancient thousands of year old mantras and chants and rituals, they have created this field, this energetic field that we tap into when we pray, in all of the ways of praying, whether we're speaking a prayer, dancing a prayer, intending a prayer, but we resonate with that field, and it's very powerful to see how that manifests on the earth. I can hear it. I could hear the prayers that have ever been said, like a hum, and how our prayers join with those prayers.
Wonderful, wonderful. There is a piece that I'd like to play for our many listeners around the world. This is a favorite of Dr. Masaru Emoto, where he used to play Beethoven Symphony Number. It's from Beethoven Symphony, the Ninth Symphony, Ode to Joy, and playing that would have these beautiful, beautiful effects on the water, where the crystalline structures would turn into these beautiful structures. And I'd like to play that now. Thank you. Okay, my friends, I just wanted to share that all with you. Because in your book, you mentioned some quotes from Dr. Emoto saying that when he does a group prayer, he first intones the note of 528 hertz. Do you know much about that? It says that this is the basic frequency of the universe.
That is what I know about it. Mm-hmm. Actually, from him talking about it and reading a bit about it on his website. But it's quite incredible.
Beautiful, beautiful. I know that they have a project now called the Emoto Peace Project from Tokyo, where they're doing wonderful work in getting children's books out to many schools around the world. The theory behind the project is that when you teach children between the ages of 3 and 12 years old the valuable lessons of love and gratitude, then by the time they're adults in perhaps 15 to 20 years from now, they won't be interested in having a Middle Eastern war that goes on for 15 or 20 years. There won't be any much less domestic violence, and people will be far less interested in committing crimes against each other and against humanity because they'll have love and gratitude for life and for each other.
Beautiful, and I am very grateful to Machiko for our introduction.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, Machiko Hayashi is the wonderful new director of the Emoto Peace Project, worldwide director. She's doing absolutely wonderful work. I've actually started working with her in printing and distributing children's books for the Emoto Peace Project for schools and libraries here in the United States. After the United States, I want to do that for Canada and then move to Latin and South America. So though for those interested in helping with that effort, please do email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com for probably 0.5% of the military budget of the United States military. My theory is that we could transform this planet into a far more peaceful place with far less conflict and far less wars than we currently have with all the military spending we do.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Well, I want to go through some of your book. You know, there's so much here. We could probably talk for another 6 hours, but I've only have an hour. so we have to cram it in, you know, like in 25 words or less. There is one part here I want to go through. There's so many parts. They're so beautiful. This is from Ganga White. And let me see if I can. I know there's bibliographies in the back. Do you know much about Ganga White? You could tell our listeners about.
Well, I know that he has the White Lotus yoga, mm-hmm. and he has done a lot of beautiful work in that. He's recognized as an outstanding teacher and exponent of yoga. And he has been called one of the architects of American yoga and a pioneer of yoga by the Yoga Journal. And I love that poem that you're going to read.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, it caught my eye. So many things do. He writes in part, "What if our religion was each other?" His poem is called "What If." It's on page 62. What if our religion was each other? What if our practice was our life? If our prayer was our words? What if the temple was the earth? If forests were our church? If holy water, the rivers, lakes, and oceans? What if meditation was our relationships? What if the teacher was life? If wisdom was self-knowledge? And if love was the center of our being? Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
Because if the temple was our earth, we wouldn't pollute the earth, would we? Because the Mother Earth would be like a temple. If the forests and the animals living here were our church, then why would we harm them? I mean, I'm not advocating vegetarianism. I'm just saying that I think that a lot of animals get mistreated. Mm-hmm. And if the holy water, the rivers, lakes, and oceans, certainly, we would probably take things far more seriously, like the Fukushima nuclear disaster, which, by the way, happened back in the spring of 2011, and now it's 2015. It's 4 years later. Do you ever hear about that on CNN or any other of the other major news sources in the United States? I don't.
Mm-hmm. No, long forgotten.
They're far more interested in the sex lives of various Hollywood actors, of which I don't care about. And who cares who's dating who, who's breaking up with who, who's sleeping with who? But something I think important, like the Fukushima nuclear reactor accident, that's important. And yet they don't give one second to that in our current media. Nothing. I know that from my research a year ago, that the four crippled reactors from Fukushima were dumping 85,000 gallons of highly radioactive water into the Pacific every day. And but there is some good news with that. I think the Pacific now has been cleaned up. The radiation is gone. Celeste, would you like to know why it's gone or who cleaned it up? Well, this goes into another area, but I'll just mention it briefly. There is a group of benevolent ETs on this planet who visit this planet called the Galactic Alliance. They're a group of an alliance of 435 million planets, approximately 7 trillion entities, mostly human, not all, but mostly human, all benevolent, or actually seeded from their genetic stock. And they look, many of them look just like us, and they decided last year that we shouldn't be able to kill ourselves, which is what would happen with the Fukushima radiation if they hadn't stepped in. And what was interesting is that about a year ago, I started taking water samples off here the Washington coast for radiation. I sent it off to various labs around the country for testing. And the thing that was just amazing to me is that the radiation was gone, completely gone. And this is amazing because since Fukushima for 3 years before last year, there was a highly radioactive plume of water coming from Fukushima headed directly to the West Coast. And there were some predictions last year by some people that the West Coast entirely, and especially Washington, would become uninhabitable by 2016. Mm-hmm. And now that radiation's completely gone. It's all gone. And the media doesn't cover it, doesn't mention about it. I guess we're supposed to be, just forget about it. But I don't forget about it. But I think that that's really, really, really good news for all of us. And I know that Dr. Emoto, when he was alive, and I think his offices now are still trying to help the people in Fukushima cope with the radiation that is there, by the way, but it's been greatly reduced by our friends from the Galactic Alliance stepping in and cleaning things up. But anyway,
this is very good news.
Yeah,
it's very good news.
It's
and our consensual reality is just a bandwidth away from the spiritual realm and other realities.
Right. Well, one of the things that there's a couple of different themes with all the wonderful people that you have in your book, and not only is it love, but also gratitude. You mentioned Caroline Murr on page 64, where she talks about prayer, quote, prayer for me is gratitude. Thank you, thank you, thank you, is the standard basic prayer. And then it gets more detailed from there. And then followed by Sharif Abdullah, who writes that rocks are sacred, stars are sacred, trees are sacred, rivers are sacred. How could you harm the earth if you are part of the earth? This is the kind of sacredness indigenous people have always known and to which we must return. He also writes, all beings have consciousness, all of them. And he includes the sun as a living being. It breathes over 11-year cycle. Scientists look at it as a thermonuclear process, but we can choose to look at it as our father. Scientists look at this earth as various dynamic geological and hydrodynamic processes, but we can choose to look at the earth as our mother. So I think he's right on that, and I think it certainly is worth thinking about that this planet and everything and everyone in it are sparks of the supreme creator, and why would we harm other living entities on this planet if it just hurts ourselves in the long run?
Yeah, we are out of touch with the rhythms of nature and our connection and oneness with the natural world. Mm-hmm. And that's why people are so sick and depressed, and we are in this situation, because it is us often against nature instead of realizing that we are nature.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, the main goal of my radio show, Celeste, and my many listeners around the world, is to raise consciousness to make this planet a better place. And with that, I'd just like to take a quick break and say, for those who are just tuning in, this is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW here in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States, where we are talking to Celeste Iacoboni, is that right?
Very good, Iacoboni.
Good, good, about her wonderful book, Work, How Do We Pray? For those who'd like to, if you'd like to take, would you like to take some calls from people if they'd like to call in?
Sure.
Okay, wonderful. Well, if you'd like to call in and ask any questions of Celeste, our phone number here is area code 425-373-5527 or toll free within Western Washington at 1-888-298-5569. I think it's important to note, too, that you know, by putting in 125 people in all these different ways of praying, no one has the, how should I say, the ownership of one particular prayer that works. And I think that because we are all individual sparks of the Creator, of God, if you will, that we have our own way sometimes of praying that connects us with the Creator. Anyway, I'm talking a lot, Celeste, and I apologize, but I want you to continue. This is your interview. So,
great. Well, I feel that in a world aflame with religious intolerance mm-hmm. and the growing disenchantment with religious institutions, we are evolving mm-hmm. a new language to translate and honor the oneness of humanity and divinity. So that's really the good news, and that's what all of these 129 amazing religious leaders, spiritual guides, healers, activists, scientists, shamans, atheists, you know, just every spiritual but not religious, religious people. I mean, there's really such a great representation of who we are, mm-hmm. And a lot of common threads, like you noticed, gratitude was a huge common thread among people mm-hmm. in their prayers. I mean, that's when you open your eyes in the morning, mm-hmm. you know, isn't that the first prayer? A thank you for being here.
It is. Absolutely. And, you know, Dr. Emoto and the wonderful work that Michiko Hayashi is doing with the Emoto Peace Project, the whole basis of that is love and gratitude. That's their whole basis, is that.
And, mm-hmm. and to teach the children, mm-hmm. to inspire them at a young age, so hopefully they won't get to a place where they feel the separation, the us and them, the other, and the fear that comes with that, that they will be grounded in a place of love mm-hmm. And possibility for a greater future.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If people have that, believe in that, Celeste, I think the crime rates would dramatically drop in this country mm-hmm. and all around the world, for that matter. Because if you commit a crime against someone, if you steal or assault them or whatever from them, you're really committing a crime against yourself. Because if you're all part of one as a humanity.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And to see the God and feel the God, to feel the source of life mm-hmm. in yourself makes it a lot easier to feel it in someone else and to see their value. And namaste, the God in me salutes the God in you. Mm-hmm. Looking at people of different social position and not to have people put down, mm-hmm. so far down that they crack, they go mm-hmm. crazy. And they do these incredibly horrible things mm-hmm. because they don't feel their self-worth. They don't feel the God within. They don't feel the love. Mm-hmm. They don't feel loved.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. 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 The I think the whole planet would be a far better place if we got in touch with certainly got in touch with the Supreme Being and also recognize that we are actually all one. And I think we're getting there, though. I think that people are realizing that for many of us here in the United States and elsewhere around the planet, we don't want any more wars, you know. We're tired of fighting. We all realize that humanity is one. I have to tell you, you know, of course, there's a whole sector of the U.S. economy that is unfortunately tied up in the military-industrial complex, and those entities make a lot of money and thrive off of negativity and wars. For example, back in 2013, I remember the push for the United States military to get involved in Syria against President Assad. And I was told, though, the public opinion polls were flat against it. You know, most Americans didn't want to go to yet another Middle Eastern war for another 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Why bother? What does that do? All it does is kill more people and create more tension and spend wasted resources on military and end up killing people. So people stood up against it, and the forces within this administration backed down. So we didn't go. Unfortunately, what they did do, though, is that they did arm ISIS in to fight Syria. And unfortunately, ISIS has since gone south into Iraq. And so now on CNN and other major media sources, they talk about the threat that ISIS poses for the Middle East. And I'm sure it is a threat. But guess who originally funded ISIS? The U.S. government. Yeah. We sent them millions and millions of dollars in taxpayer dollars and millions of dollars in the latest weaponry. So we could have another war. Now we're fighting ISIS. It doesn't make sense to me. That doesn't make sense at all.
But it is big business, and it does backfire. Mm-hmm. And our prayers are needed more than ever. And we do amplify this prayer field. And it isn't prayer alone. It's prayer in relationship and prayer in activism. Mm-hmm. How do we walk our prayers and take mm-hmm. our prayers to the streets? Mm-hmm. And I found in my own vision here, saying yes to my vision. You know, Ted, so many people compliment me on that and thank me on that. Thank you for following your vision, mm-hmm. because we often have an idea or a knowing or something, a calling that we really want to do, but it gets lost in our day-to-day life because mm-hmm. we have all these other things that we have to do. But to be sparked by something like that, to say yes and to connect with people who can work on that with you and manifest that mm-hmm. is really taking our prayers out in action.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. In the past, I've lived for about 2.5 years in India. I had a series of Fulbright grants there where I studied law in India. It's a fascinating experience. And one of the most important lessons I learned while living there is that we are all children of God. The amazing thing about India, it's one country. Politically, it's one country. And I know I have a lot of listeners in India, so namaste to all my friends and listeners in India now who are listening. But you have all these different ethnic groups within the country. And sure, they have their problems, but, you know, they get along for the most part. I mean, there's problems. There's no paradise here on Earth. But one of the most important lessons, again, that I learned is that we are all children of God, and we all need to learn to get along. And I think especially for the major religions of the world, the Supreme Being certainly didn't intend for us, by having these other religions, to fight each other in religious wars, because it really doesn't make any sense.
No.
If we are all indeed one part of the Creator. Mm-hmm. Tell me, what are your favorite prayers? Do you say you get up in the early in the morning and meditate? And do you meditate in the morning and also at evening before you go to sleep? And are there any useful prayers you'd like to pass on to my many, many listeners?
Well, one thing I'd like to say, Lama Surya Das, he said something so beautiful. He says, all languages are understood in prayer. Yeah. For the prayerful heart has the gift of tongues in which no translation is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
So when we speak about prayers all over the world in these different languages and different groups and religions, we are all of one language from the heart. So that's where we come together. And I do wake up and meditate. You know, I wake up and it's quiet time. And I meditate, and sometimes meditation is receiving just as I woke up that morning and had this vision and heard those words, how do you pray?
Mm-hmm.
And those words continued, and I grabbed my pen and started writing. Well, that happens. I have a tablet there by my bed, so I often have these downloads where things come. And I sit as well, and I am the awareness. I am the prayerness. And sometimes from that meditation, words come, prayers come, where I find myself saying, Mother Matrix, you are our intricate design. We breathe praise and give gratitude for this life force that runs through us and every cell. With love and blessing, I trust that all will be well.
Mm-hmm.
I see, I just jotted that one down because that's what came this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I see God as the grid of divinity,
mm-hmm,
and the Mother Matrix, which created all of life, which continues to create life. Mm-hmm. Just as prayer is a relationship, not just something we do when we are alone.
Mm-hmm.
In the evening, I find myself, I have a beautiful Tibetan incense that Lama Gurme, who has his beautiful painting of the Blue Medicine Buddha in the book.
Mm-hmm.
He has a school in Tibet, and mm-hmm, he's a, you know, amazing artist, so he teaches painting, Tonka painting, and his school, they make this lovely incense. So I break off a little piece of the incense and light that and kind of clear my space. Sometimes I light a candle if I'm going to be up for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I sit in gratitude and in blessing. And that's when I hold this illuminated space. I hold this space of pure potential and possibility and love,
mm-hmm,
for all of life,
mm-hmm,
for everyone who has asked me to pray for them,
mm-hmm,
to my ancestors, to my friends, to people that I don't know,
mm-hmm,
to the world, to the planet, and to all those incredible beings and life force and entities and universes,
mm-hmm,
that I don't even know about, but I pray for the wellness and this benevolence that,
mm-hmm,
surrounds the earth and all of us.
Mm-hmm. You know, as you shared that with us, the studio has lit up again in a beautiful white light, so my angel friends are saying you're right on target.
Oh, oh, I love that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I wanted to mention briefly, I wasn't going to say anything, but I have had, if I may, I want to share this with my many listeners. I've talked about my friend Scott Lemriel before. He's the author of the Sayrace Agenda. He has been in contact with the Galactic Alliance the last 53 years, and he will be at my Galactic Wisdom Conference for those who'd like to meet him in person. But there's a particular chant that he uses, and he urges others to use, teaches it as well. It's called the Hue, and what it does is that it puts you in contact with the Divine and the Galactic Alliance and asks for their help. Do you mind if I share that with you now, Celeste?
Oh, I would love that.
Okay. It's basically the Hue. It opens up your pineal gland, and I recommend when you do it, to you can either say it silently to yourself if you're in a crowded area, or if you have privacy, you simply say it, and when you say it with love. And you ask, I think I remember the words correctly, he taught me, you ask for to be revealed perfectly purposely hidden truth from in a cosmic sense. But here it goes, and I've used it myself, and it has helped me personally. It goes something like this. The studio again has gotten more white light in it, so I think I'm on the right track.
We're on to something.
We're on to something, Celeste, in your book. And So,
thanks for sharing that.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. It's he's written a wonderful book, and it's a little different. It's called The Say Race Agenda, but I urge you all to get a copy of the book. It's a wonderful book. You can go to my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com. Click on guests, and you can scroll down to Scott's name, down to his book. There are so many other wonderful passages in this in the book that you've written, with 125 people all talking about different ways to pray. There's one important one I want to share with you. It's on page 133, and it's from Michael Stillwater. He writes that prayers reside in the heart, and the song is a link there. And I personally think that when you use the heart in a good way, that love actually is the most powerful force in this universe. And if you can tie your prayers into the heart, you'll get a powerful connection to the divine, and for help and protection on anything you need help with. Because I think I look at this planet and I look at life as a glass being half full and overflowing, in a very positive way. And I think that's the best way to be in life. Sure, there's challenges out there. A lot of us have, challenges sometimes to deal with. But it's always good to try to keep a positive attitude about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that there is help available out there if you need it.
Yeah. Colleen Kelly on page 33.
Mm-hmm.
She talks about the heart as well, and she says, I imagine the untold number of people around the world who are, in this very moment, folding their hands over their hearts into this timeless and universal gesture of reverence and remembering.
Mm-hmm.
It is a gesture that spans continents and unites Eastern and Western sacred traditions.
Mm.
Somehow prayer and remembering always involves the heart and finding our heart.
Wonderful, wonderful. I know that among people who live in the Pleiades constellation, the Pleiades are approximately 30,000 years ahead of us technologically, 8,000 years ahead of us spiritually. They look just like us. We were seated from them, actually. They also greet them. Instead of a handshake, they put their hand over their heart and nod their head. That is their standard greeting.
Mm.
So they're connecting heart to heart when they greet each other. That's beautiful.
Oh, very beautiful. And some of us here do that, too.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. There are, if you go to my website, howdoyoupray.com,
mm-hmm.
you can download excerpts from the book.
Mm.
I have, a grouping of free excerpts that you can actually download before you get the book. You can have a preview.
Wonderful. What a nice thing. And I keep saying this, more white light just poured into the studio after I put my hand over my heart. And
I have mine on my heart too.
Oh, nice. Nice. I have to tell you, for my next hour, when I interview Professor Sheldrick from London, he talks about, he's a scientist, one of the world's most famous scientists, Celeste, but he's attempted to go out and prove things like telepathy and the powerful emotions, powerful ties that bind us together through the unseen. And so I keep thinking about him, as I interviewed him yesterday, and he talked about this too in his own experiments. I have to want to share this with you on page 190 of your wonderful book. You have Deidre Hade, Hade, and she writes, prayer is our natural state. In prayer, the soul is resting in a resting position in repose. To be in prayer for the soul is effortless. There's no trying, there's nothing to obtain, there's nothing to gain. And she writes, allow yourself to gently receive the angelic understanding of prayer, and prayer will make herself known to you. Prayer is exquisite. Prayer is holy. Prayer is brilliant. In prayer, there's no separation. And anyway, I'd love your comments on that.
Well, it's a prayer-ness. Mm-hmm. It isn't necessarily something that you do. Prayer is our natural state.
Mm-hmm.
In India, also, they speak of Sat Chit Ananda, awareness, emptiness, and love. And I feel that is a prayerful state. When we are in that, we are in that awareness, that prayerness. That is the witness. I mean, the awareness is what watches as we, you know, pray, meditate, live, go through everything else. There is this awareness, this watcher.
Mm-hmm.
And that that state is our natural state, where we are in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where we get the downloads and receive the information and connect with the angelic realm.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really holy and exquisite. And that's when we know there is no separation.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I'm sure everyone has had their experience where they've experienced supremely beautiful times in their lives. I'd like to share one with you now, my many listeners around the world. Back in February or January of 1978, I was hit head-on by a drunk driver at 110 miles an hour. And I was going at about 50 miles an hour on Highway 101 over by Shelton, Washington, here in the United States. And this drunk driver cut across the center line at 60 or more miles an hour, hit me head on. My jaw hit the steering wheel, split my jaw in half. I've had tinnitus in my ears ever since. I look normal except that my jaw is held together by a series of wires underneath. You can't see it, of course. But one of the things that I'll never forget, it was a couple of months after that, and spent some time in a coma at the hospital, woke up, went home to recuperate. And my parents at the time had this beautiful farm on the west side of Olympia, Washington. And I'll never forget, we had a bunch of beautiful, beautiful, tall evergreen trees back there. And I walked back there in April of 78, back in that year. And it had just been raining, Celeste, and the sun had just come through the trees. And it was such a beautiful, beautiful experience. I'll never forget that time, because I had asked God, and I've been praying, you know, why was I spared? You know, why? How come I didn't die? Because of all rights, I should have died back then. I mean, you hit somebody that hard, and I was just a real mess. But I didn't know whether I had brain damage or not, but I lived through it, and I'm okay today, except I do have tinnitus in my ears. I prayed to God back then, and I asked, why me? Why was I spared? And the answer I got back is that I had a lot of important things to do in life. And now that I've started this radio show, I know that this was probably the most important thing I've done in my life, is to try to raise consciousness in a good way in this planet. I believe in the inherent goodness of humanity, and that we are powerful spiritual beings. I actually, I know I've talked about this before, but back in the 16th century, Nostradamus, a famous French prophet, said that by the year 2030s and 2040s, that humanity as a whole would be entering into 1,000 years of a golden age, he termed, of spiritual peace and prosperity, where we as a planet, as humanity, we would find the oneness within all of us. And this is why your book is so important, Celeste, in pinpointing that for people and bringing together all these wonderful, fantastic authors, over 100 people in one very easily read book about prayer, about how people can get in touch with the divine and the supreme creator. But getting back to Nostradamus, he said that we would have 1,000 years of spiritual peace and evolution, after which we would become like Star Trek. We would go off and become a spacefaring a people from this planet. And by the time this arrives in the 20s and 2030s and the 2040s, that poverty, I believe, will be largely eliminated, as well as pollution on this planet, because we will finally realize that we are all part of the divine and that we need to care for one another. I think that the things that Nostradamus talked about back 400 or 500 years ago are coming to true now, but I think the pace is accelerating. And you're providing, and my show is trying to help as best as I can, in accelerating that consciousness and vibration on this planet.
Yeah, thank you so much. And we are bringing people together.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate what you are doing and really educating people and sharing information, just like How Do You Pray brings 129 people together sharing prayers.
Mm-hmm.
It is an interspiritual prayer book and a resource guide with mm-hmm. those bios in the back of the book with everyone's website. So mm-hmm. you can find out who are these people, what are they doing, mm-hmm. how can I connect,
mm-hmm.
and find out what really moves you, and
right.
And then find out what their offerings are, what their books are, and their organizations and centers, and how we can come together.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and it's more than, I think people, most people on this planet want to find out the hidden meaning of life. Why are we here? I think that's a question which I used to, you know, I still ask occasionally, but I think important that people look beyond the superficiality of the media, of television, and they want in-depth answers. They're seeking that. That's why my show now is one of the top-rated talk shows in Seattle and the fastest-growing UFO and psychic program in the world, because people are interested in these answers. They're tired of the superficialities. You know, I mean, in some of the newscasts like CNN, I know that their ratings have dramatically dropped. Apparently, on any given day, they only have 100,000 people watching CNN during the daytime broadcasts, because people are bored with what they have to say. They don't report the news, and they don't go into anything in depth. But I think people are searching for answers, Celeste, and I want to thank you so much for writing this wonderful book. You've provided a real service to humanity in getting people in touch with the divine.
Mm. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. My pleasure. My pleasure. We've got about a little less than 3 minutes now, and I just want to say, those who are just tuning in, this is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW here on 1150 AM in Bellevue, Washington, just outside of Seattle in the United States. For those listening in Germany, I've been told before that I talk too fast. Maybe it's because of the coffee. I should slow down. My friends are reminding me to slow down, because if you're not a native speaker, English speaker, it may be hard to understand everything I'm saying. But we've had a wonderful interview today with Celeste Jacoboni. Jacoboni today about her book, How Do You Pray? I want to give Celeste the last couple of minutes to wrap up her wonderful interview, and then please stay tuned for our next hour, in which we will be having Rupert Sheldrake, one of the world's most famous scientists, talking about his work and the scientific basis for telepathy and psychic cats. For those cat lovers and dog lovers out there, he does a lot of work with animals. And then the rest of the hour, we will be having Terry Wurzburg from live from Bergen, Norway, talking about his wonderful UFO conference. We also have a surprise guest here in the studio to talk for a few minutes about her work with the Seattle UFO Network, Una Drank. So anyway, Celeste, please, I want you to have the floor. You got about a minute and a half left.
Well, my prayer is that as we read and share the prayers of others, we will find our own deepest prayers and come together, and the world will live as one. That is my prayer, and I am so happy to be here on the show and to reach out to so many people all over the world. I invite you all to my website, howdoyoupray.com, and my Facebook page, How Do You Pray? And on that Facebook page, I invite you to share your prayers there, your questions, and let's really get a conversation going where we share these beautiful ways that we come together.
Wonderful. Well, you've given your real gift to the world, Celeste, and I want to thank you so much for coming on the program. Any prayers that you'd like to share with my listeners, please email them to me. I'm sure you have updates on your book, and I will put them on my Facebook and also Twitter them out as well.
Wonderful. That would be great. Thank you so much.
I And I want to thank you so much for coming on today. We will be going, we'll taking a break here in a few minutes for local news and weather and traffic, and then we'll be back here shortly to interview one of the world's most famous scientists. Please stay tuned. This is Out of This World Radio.